Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said to Nicodemus, "Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He later said to Nicodemus, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So don't be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again." You see, this is how we enter into the kingdom of Christ. It is when through the Word of God we are brought to faith by the Holy Ghost and we are enlightened so that we may see, hear, and understand the Word of God. By nature, we do not fear, love, and trust in God. By nature, we would never come to faith. By nature, we are the enemies of God and we resent God's intrusion into our life. Therefore, Jesus, in our text today, weeps over the citizens of Jerusalem because many of them had fallen into a state of obduracy. A state of obduracy. That's one of those theological words. The state of obduracy means that you fall into such a hardened condition, a hardness of heart against the gospel and against Jesus, that there is little to no hope that you can ever be brought to repentance and be saved. That is the state of obduracy. And so we need to consider Jesus' words for a little bit. What is this terrible state into which the citizens of Jerusalem had fallen? All right, what does it consist of? It consists of this. Despite God's gracious visitation, despite the dawning of the grace and salvation of God, they hardened their heart against Jesus and against the gospel until their salvation was hidden from their eyes. Until their salvation was hidden from their eyes. Secondly, despite the warnings of the coming of the day of judgment, they persisted in dismissing the warnings, dismissing the idea of God's judgment until it finally overtook them. All right? They heard Jesus saying, "You're going to be surrounded by your enemies. They're going to hem you in on every side. And they're going to knock your city down. There won't be one stone left upon another that will not be thrown down. And this will happen because you did not recognize the day of your visitation." Way back at the beginning of St. Luke's Gospel, Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, he speaks of the birth of Christ and he says, "Thou hast visited and redeemed thy people." So the visitation that the people of Jerusalem rejected was the presence of Jesus. And so now, when he warned them of the judgment to come, they simply dismissed it. "That can't happen to us," until finally It happened to them. Just as it will happen to every sinner who insists on remaining in impenitence and unbelief, the day of reckoning will come for everyone who hardens themselves against the Lord. What else is it? It is hardening yourself until you become an enemy of Christ, an enemy of God's Word, and an enemy of the Church of Jesus Christ. Look what it says at the end of our gospel lesson for today. It says in verse 47, Jesus taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people, all the pillars of society, sought to destroy him. They sought to destroy Jesus. See, that's what happens. First, you're indifferent and you turn a deaf ear to the gospel. Then, as the gospel continues to come into your life, you harden yourself more and more against it until you hate Jesus, hate the Bible, and hate the Church of Christ. And so it is here we see this terrible picture of the state of obduracy. How does a person get into such a terrible state? Well, it starts off with persisting in dismissing God's offer of grace and salvation. Right? And usually we do this because we don't think that we really need any help or intervention from God in our lives. We think that we are doing quite well already. We look at ourselves and we say, you know, I may not be the greatest person who's ever lived, but I'm not such a bad person after all, and therefore, I don't really need to take all this religion stuff that seriously because I'm all right. And besides, God, if there is a God, He doesn't concern Himself about the persnickety details of life. He's happy if we just do the best we can. So, you know, the idea is that number one, I'm a good person, and number two, besides that, God is not fussy. All right? You know what we call that? We call that carnal security. That is trusting in the flesh and saying all is well because number one, I've lied to myself about my own sinfulness and I've lied to myself about the reality of God. If you think that you are a good person and that God is going to be impressed with you in the day of judgment, you are lying to yourself and you are believing in a fleshly lie. And if you think that God is just some kind of old man up in the sky who is kind of a little bit dotty. He used to be kind of fierce, but he's mellowed out with age, you know. You know what we call that today? We call it moral therapeutic deism. This is the religion of pretty much everyone under the age of 50 in our modern society. And what does it mean? Moral therapeutic deism. But let's start out with the idea of moral. Moral means that I, as a good person, should do the best that I can do, and I should be considered a morally upright person because I don't club somebody to death with an axe. All right? So as long as I don't do something hideous, I'm a good person. All right? Number two, therapeutic. God wants me to be happy and self-fulfilled. The whole point of my life is to make me happy and to do the things and have the things that make me feel good about myself. Now, number one, it's a lie that just because you make a pitiful effort at morality that you are righteous in the eyes of God. That's a lie. Number two, it is also a lie, listen to me, it is a lie to think that God wants you to be happy. All right? Now, yes, in general, God does want us to be happy, but He wants us to be happy in an enduring way, and not because of the flesh, but because of our relationship with Him. God did not put you in this world so that you could live for yourself and be satisfied in your selfishness. He created you for other means entirely. So the idea that God is your great therapist up in the sky who only wants you to be happy is a very misleading idea. And then the third part of that, moral therapeutic deism. Deism is the idea that there's a God up there someplace, but He doesn't really get involved in the world. He's up there and He's watching, but He doesn't really, like, He doesn't answer prayers. He doesn't call you to repentance. He hasn't inspired the Holy Bible, and He never sent Jesus into the world to be a Savior, the one and only Savior. He's just that man upstairs who is watching but not involved. All right? So you got most people in the world today, they believe in a useless God. They believe that the whole point of life is that God wants you to be happy, and that thirdly, any little finger-lifting effort at morality is righteousness in the eyes of God. What a deception! And yet this kind of thinking is what keeps people from saying, oh, I know you mean well, but no, I don't really believe the Bible is the Word of God. And I don't really believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And I don't believe that God is going to send Christ to judge the living and the dead. I believe that I've been put into the world to be happy and to do some things that leave the world a better place, and to basically acknowledge that there's a God, but God doesn't really care too much about what's going on here. He's watching, but He doesn't involve Himself. So that's what happens. We say to the gospel, to the promise of life, we say thanks, but no thanks. Right? Thanks, but no thanks. That's why Jesus said in our text, listen, He beheld the city and He wept over it. He wept over the city. Right? He said, if you had known, even you, at least in this your day, the things which belong to your peace. You see that? Jesus here is showing His desire for the salvation of sinners. And that brings me to the third thing. Now, we've talked about what is the state of obduracy. We've talked about how do you get that way. And now we come to part three. How do you escape before it's too late? How do you escape before it's too late? Number one, behold Christ. Christ in the gospel, weeping over the missed opportunities of the people of Israel, and know that in this weeping of Christ, we have a sign that God wants the salvation of all sinners. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that we should turn from our wickedness and receive the grace and salvation of God. So that when we see Jesus weeping, and when we see Him saying, if only, it is a sign to us that God wants to be gracious to us and that He wants us to be in possession of His salvation. The second thing is this: receive God's gracious, saving visitation with faith in Him. Right? Notice that Jesus said, if you had only known, at least in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace. You see that? There are several things. Number one, this is your day, the day of grace. And it is possible in this day of grace for you to know what you need to know. And that is the things which belong to your peace. That is, Jesus Christ has stepped in between you and God's wrath, and He is the Redeemer. And He wants you to know that your peace with God has come through Him. He wants you to understand that every time you hear the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God is visiting you. And the day of grace is upon you. And all gracious opportunity to be saved and to flourish in God's grace is there for the taking. So receive it. Receive it every time you hear it with repentance and with faith. And then the third thing is found way down in verse 48. It says, in verse 47 it says, the chief priests, the scribes, and the chief of the people sought to destroy Him, but they could not find what they might do. Why? For all the people were very attentive to hear Him. Jesus taught every day in the temple, and the people were very attentive to hear Him. And that's the third way of how to escape from a state of obduracy, and that is be very attentive to hear the blessed gospel, the blessed word of God. Let me recap here. Number one, what is the state of obduracy? It's when we harden ourselves against the gospel until our hearts are so hard that the gospel and the salvation of God is hidden from us. That's what it is. How do you get that way? By persistence in dismissing the offer of grace, by hardening your heart until God is fed up with you, and by the inevitability of the judgment which you have laughed at. And then finally, how do you escape before it's too late? Number one, look at the weeping Christ as a sign of grace to you and receive the visitation of Jesus with repentance and faith and be very attentive to hear Him. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.